Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Interesting day in the world of sports, no doubt about it. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of Sirius XM. Mad Dog Sports Radio number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Once again, you are listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. You can also leave in your voicemail messages. Just go to SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious to, you know, leave your voicemail messages. It's a lot of interesting stuff that's been percolating in the National Football League over the last several hours. One of the things is people making noise about what I said about Jarrett Stidham, the backup quarterback for the Denver Broncos, that's going to be playing in the game and throwing a pass for the first time since 2023. And people have looked at me and said, Stephen A., I mean, come on, man, anything can happen, anything can happen. I don't want to hear that. I'm going to say it to New England, to the New England Patriots, so everybody can hear. You can't lose this game. You can't lose to a backup quarterback that hasn't thrown a pass since 2023. I don't give a damn how good he is. If he was, I don't care. I don't care that he's one of the most quality backups around. I don't care the fact that he's one of the highest paid backups around. I don't care about the fact that he's had four starts in his career, that he's been in the National Football League since 2019, and that, you know what, practice, we talk about practice, the way he's throwing the football. He has not thrown a football in a game since 2023. You're the New England Patriots, a team that's had the easiest schedule. Let's call it whatever. Let's call it what it is. There's no team in the NFL since 1999 when the Rams were playing. There is no team that had an easier schedule and an easier path to prominence in the National Football League than the New England Patriots this season. We got all of that. Throw all of that out the window. You're a number two seed. You're 14-3 after back-to-back 4-13 seasons. You're in the AFC Championship game since the first time since 2018. Tom Brady was quarterbacking back then. Bill Belichick was coaching back then. After years of ineptitude, you have now returned to some level of prominence. And you had luck on your side, too. Okay? You had luck on your side. You go against the Chargers and Justin Herbert, who still hasn't won a playoff game in his career. They had a depleted offensive line with two of their all-pro offensive tackles out. You won that game. Then you go up against Houston, and C.J. Stroud doesn't even look like C.J. Stroud. Man's committed 7 turnovers in 2 games. You got an opportunity, and you take advantage of it against that. It's going to be a bit tougher against Denver. They're the number one seed. Their defense is elite. They get to the quarterback, 68 sacks, 4 shy of a record by the Chicago Bears in 1984. 14 better than any other NFL team this season with 68 sacks. I get it. I don't give a damn. I don't want to hear it. You cannot lose this game. You cannot lose. You're the New England Patriots. New Englanders everywhere. Bostonians everywhere. Tell me I'm lying. You can't show your face if you lose to a backup quarterback that hasn't thrown a pass since 2023. Cortland Sutton has thrown more passes than Jarrett Stidham. R.J. Harvey has thrown more passes during a regular season game than Jarrett Stidham. The damn field goal kicker, Dixon, he's thrown more passes than Jarrett Stidham since 2023. You cannot lose this game. You cannot lose this game. It's just that simple. We're going to keep it a buck here. Let's stop lying. You Mike Vrabel, Eminent Coach of the Year. You Drake May, MVP candidate. You cannot lose this game. I don't give a damn that Drake May's completing less than 60% of his passes. I don't give a damn that he's been sacked 10 times. I don't give a damn that he's got fumbleitis. I don't care. You cannot lose this game. Not to a backup quarterback who hasn't thrown a pass in nearly 3 years. You cannot lose this game. You're supposed to win this game.
It's that simple. Let's stop lying. Let's stop lying. AFC Championship game coming up this Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. We expect the New England Patriots to advance to the Super Bowl. Period. You cannot lose this game and hold your head up, losing to a backup quarterback. No disrespect to Jarrett Stidham. I'm not talking about him like he's a scrub. I'm talking about him like somebody who's been inactive for 3 years. You've been inactive for 3 years. We don't expect you to do but so much in an AFC Championship game. We haven't seen a situation where a backup quarterback is inserted into a conference championship game without having played the season since the days of Roger Staubach in 72 or George Blanda earlier than that in the 50s. You cannot lose this game. You cannot lose this game. So let me just be very, very clear. And I dare anybody, because I know Boston, New England is everywhere. I know y'all agree with me. Don't let these people lie. Don't let these people act like you'll disagree with me on that. You cannot lose this game. Period. That's point number one. Let me get to something else that's pertinent to talk about. And that's the situation going on in Buffalo. Ladies and gentlemen, after firing McDermott, who didn't deserve to be fired, by the way, last 6 years, best record in football, 73-27, 73% winning percentage. No, he did not get to a Super Bowl. He went to two AFC championship games. That's true. Went to the playoffs 8 times in 9 years, including the last 7 straight. Couldn't get over the hump, couldn't get him to the Super Bowl. Got it. Understood. Look at the 5 AFC titles, AFC East titles, the 8 playoff appearances, 8 playoff wins, by the way. I mean, they folks act like they're about to erect a statue out here for John Harbaugh. He had 3 playoff wins in the last 8 years. McDermott's without a job. He had 8. But that's neither here nor there. I think what's alarming is watching the press conference this morning, because the Bills caused the press conference because they're taking a lot of heat for firing McDermott, because a lot of people are asking the same question that I'm asking. Why is Brandon Bean keeping his job? Now, let me be very, very clear and specific about what I'm saying. I don't believe that Brandon Bean deserves to be fired. That's not where I'm going. What I'm saying is McDermott didn't deserve to be fired. And how is it that you put the blame on McDermott, but the GM is absolved? And you know how we know? Because the GM got promoted to the presidency on the day that the head coach was fired. And then we heard from the namesake for the channel, Mad Dog Russo, Christopher Russo. He said that he spoke to Vic Carucci, who's got connections there. And he's got connections up there. And he said that McDermott walked into the owner's office about 6 weeks ago and said, "We do not have a Super Bowl roster." He wasn't lying. Who accumulated that roster? Who assembled that roster? That would be Brandon Bean. But yet and still, we got Pegula, the owner for the Buffalo Bills, making what can only be surmised as an absolutely asinine statement, essentially reducing McDermott to one game, saying that Saturday's loss essentially was why he got fired. Don't believe me? Listen to Buffalo Bills owner Terry Pegula talking about Sean McDermott and his dismissal. Right now, take a listen.
My decision to bring in a new coach was based on the results of our game in Denver. I want to take you in the locker room after that game. I looked around. First thing I noticed was our quarterback with his head down, crying. I looked at all the other players. I looked at their faces and our coaches. I walked over to Josh. He didn't even acknowledge I was there. First thing I said to him, I said, "That was a catch." We all know what I'm talking about. He didn't acknowledge me. He just sat there sobbing. He was listless. He had given everything he had to try to win that game. And looking around, so did all the other players on the team. I saw the pain in Josh's face at his presser. and I felt his pain. I know we can do better, and I know we will get better.
That wasn't all that Pegula had to say. He went on a bit further in fairness to him. I don't want to act like that's all he said. I'm just saying that when you make the statement that you made the decision based on one game, well, let's talk about that game for a second. You lost to the Denver Broncos. You didn't get blown out. You lost in overtime 33-30. That was a catch that he was talking about was the bomb he threw to Cooks, who had it in his hand and came down, you know, flat on his back, or at least the left side of his shoulder and some of his back. He hit the ground, but there was a defender right on top of him. And when he tumbled over him, he came out with the football. But the ball was in Cook's hands when he caught the pass and when he went down to the ground. Yeah, a lot of people believe it was a catch. But even if it was an interception, that wasn't Josh Allen's fault. He put it right in Cook's hands. Slightly underthrown, but nevertheless, it got there. And it got to Cook's hands. You got to hold on to that football. You can't let it be taken away, which is easier said than done because obviously he wasn't just fighting against the defender. He was also fighting against the ground because his body hit the ground, which probably jolted him a little bit, which enabled the defender to walk away with the football. And it be called an interception. No matter which way you slice it, the bottom line is it was 33-30. That was the final score. It was overtime. That's a final score. That's a highly competitive matchup. The Bills were a wild card team. In order to get to the Super Bowl, they were going to have to go on the road to Jacksonville and win against the number 3 seed. They did that. They went on the road against the number 1 seed, pushed them to overtime. Had they won that game, they'd be going against the number 2 seed, New England Patriots. In New England, in Foxborough. And that's a division rival. That's a toss-up, 50-50. And for it, it's McDermott's future to be decided by one game. That's a problem. Now, if you're Pegula and you look McDermott in the face at the beginning of the season and you say, sir, the Super Bowl will bust. You don't make it to the Super Bowl this year, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to move in a different direction. I got to try something new. That would be different. That would be different. But to sit up there and to say that game determined that you was going to fire this man, I'm sorry. I don't like that at all. I don't like that at all. That don't make much sense to me. But in fairness to Pegula, that wasn't all he said about his coach, who had won 6 straight divisional round appearances, who had 6 straight divisional round appearances, 2 AFC championship games, both losses to Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City, 8 of 9 seasons he went to the playoffs, ending a 17-year drought in 2017, by the way, 98 wins, second in franchise history behind Marv Levy, who had 112 wins and 4 Super Bowl appearances. But in fairness to Pegula, he didn't stop with what he just said, what I just aired for you. He said more than that. Let's hear what else he had to say.
I interrupt. I'll address the Keon situation. The coaching staff pushed to draft Keon. I'm not saying Brandon wouldn't have drafted him, but he wasn't his next choice. That was Brandon being a team player and taking advice of his coaching staff. Who felt strongly about the player. And, you know, he's taken, for some reason, heat over it and not saying a word about it. But I'm here to tell you the true story.
You're damn right he deserves to take some heat. Because he's a GM. And you got rid of a coach that won 73% of his games. You're damn right Brandon Bean deserves to take some heat. Now, we're going to be fair on this show. In fairness to Brandon Bean, let's understand what Pegula is saying here. Keon Coleman selected 33rd overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft. He's had 2 disappointing seasons with the Buffalo Bills. Former star at Florida State, was disciplined by the team in November and was a quote-unquote healthy scratch for 4 games. So that means you're coming late. You're not obeying rules and regulations. You're just being a pain in the ass and a bit insubordinate because you're not following rules and regulations and you lost the faith of your teammates and the coaching staff because you ain't handling business as a professional. Okay? That's probably what's going on. A healthy scratch with Buffalo being bereft of weapons to begin with at the wide receiver spot, you're damn right it's a problem. Some would say, all right, that's on McDermott. More so than Brandon Bean. But where McDermott, where Bean's character came into question by some, not me, because I'm not going to question the man's character. I'm going to tell you it's a bit fishy. I'm going to tell you it looks a bit suspicious when you hear Vic Carucci come on Mad Dog Radio and say that McDermott went into the owner's office and said we don't have a Super Bowl roster because that's about Bean and the job that he's doing more so than the job that McDermott is doing. And as a result, it's entirely plausible that when the owner turns around and fires the coach, but keeps not only keeps the GM, but promotes him the same damn day, you clearly hitched your wagon to that general manager. And for the general manager to throw up his arms and say, I really have nothing to do with this. I don't know what the hell is going on. I don't know why anybody would question my character. Well, listen, it may be false and wrong for somebody to question what role you played in this decision about McDermott and whether or not you stabbed him in the back, whether or not you engaged in self-preservation and threw him under the bus to save yourself. That all might be wrong. But it certainly doesn't look like that because of this decision that the owner made. And at least from an optics perspective, you have to acknowledge that. You have to acknowledge that. That's why Pegula felt the need to speak up. But Bean later clarified the whole draft process and Coleman's development path. I'm going to read a statement that Bean made, and then I'm going to play you some sound from him talking about his integrity. First, he addressed Keon Coleman's situation, and he said, quote, Keon was my pick. I made the pick. Terry's point was that we might have had a different order of personnel versus coaching, and I went that way. But ultimately, I'm not turning in a pick for a player that I don't think we can succeed with. So don't misunderstand that. Keon Coleman is a young player that has been here 2 years, has 2 years left on his deal. It's up to us to work with him and develop him. His issues have not been on the field. It's been maturity things that he owns. I give him credit. He doesn't make excuses, which I appreciate. He busted his tail and had a great offseason. He had an excellent camp no matter who he went against, made a bunch of plays. The Ravens game, he ends up with 100 whatever yards, and you're right. Man, this kid's going to take off. But some of the maturity stuff got in the way, and you can naturally lose confidence in teammates or coaches. That's understandable. That's what he said about Keon Coleman. Here is GM Brandon Bean defending his character. Take a listen.
There was an article written on Sean. Who stood up in front of every one of you guys and defended him and his family and everything he's done here? And then we went to Kansas City and we won that game. And I went down to Jeff Missouri and said, give me a game ball. I'm going to show everyone that this team has his back. I've done nothing but have everyone's back. And so for someone to question my character, my integrity, that's where I draw the line.
That's where he draws the line. Okay. I hear him. Bean continued. He said, I've worked 19 seasons, starting as an intern in Carolina and worked my way up. I came here and I never tried to do that. I would love for anyone who's making that accusation to walk in these doors and ask any person, player, coach, trainer, anyone. Like, people could disagree with the draft picks that I make or people I sign or I screwed up the wide receivers, whatever it is. Those are harmful, harmful things that, you know, I walk in the door and my wife's got tears coming down her face for stuff like that. I'm going to damn try hard to win a Super Bowl here. I am. But for somebody to question my character like that is BS, and I've never done that. If you remember, in 2023, there was an article written on Sean accusing things. He stood up in front of every one of you guys and defended him and his family and everything he's done here, etc. That's fair. Brandon Bean has every right to stand up for his character. I, for one, am not questioning his character. I, for one, am not saying definitively that he's done anything. Here's what Brandon Bean has to own. It looks suspicious, bro. McDermott is gone, but you stay, and the day that he's gone and you're staying, you get promoted to president? If the owner is so appalled that the team can't win, can't get over the hump, why the hell are you getting a promotion? It's one thing for the coach to be gone because the owner gave him a mandate, Super Bowl or bust. It's another thing entirely for you to get promoted. And for you to get promoted, according to the reports, having it be 6 weeks or 5 weeks or whenever it was after Sean McDermott goes into the owner's office and says, we don't have a Super Bowl roster. You don't understand how folks connect those dots? And think that your fingerprints are all over Sean McDermott's departure? That's where that comes from. I'm not saying that Brandon Bean is not right to defend himself. He has every right to defend himself. And I want to make sure everybody understands. He may be telling the truth, the whole truth, the absolute truth, and nothing but the truth. So help him, good Lord. But it looks suspicious. That's all a brother's saying. It looks suspicious, man. Because you didn't just keep your job, you got promoted. If the team hasn't succeeded, and it's an abject failure that they haven't reached their designed goals, why are you being promoted? Weren't you a part of the failure too? Why are you getting a promotion while somebody else is getting fired? That's where that's coming from. So I don't want to sit up here and act like it's okay. Lord knows I know about people attacking somebody's character. I get it. It's sickening. It's hard to take. I understand it. But when the optics point right to those things, you have to at least acknowledge you can understand how it looks. You got to at least acknowledge that, Brandon. You got to at least acknowledge that. And that's not what we heard. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call. It's 888-623-3646. Here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that Sean McDermott ends up being the next head coach for the Baltimore Ravens. Unless Raheem Morris has a chance to get it. Because I really want him to get that job. But if not, I would love to see Sean McDermott get the head coaching job in Baltimore. He had Josh Allen. Now you got Lamar Jackson. Chances are you're running to Buffalo again. And that will be must-watch TV. No doubt. Like to see it. That's all I'm talking about. That's all I'm saying. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Your calls and a special guest coming up next. Don't go away. You're listening to Stephen A., Mad Dog. Holla.